This is Adam Franklin from Blue Wire Media, and you're listening to Studio Success Formula.
Welcome to the Studio Success Formula Podcast, the business school for dance studio owners. And now for your host, Clint Salter.
Hello, dance studio owners. It's Clint Salter here from Studio Success Formula, and thanks for joining us on today's podcast. Today, I'm buzzing as I have a guru on the show that is known for providing business owners with web marketing strategies that work time and time again. My guest today is my buddy, Adam Franklin. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Clint.
Good to have you here. So Adam Franklin is an international social media speaker and the marketing manager of Blue Wire Media. Adam is a regular writer for Startup Smart and occasionally contributes to Smart Company, Sydney Morning Herald, and the radio station 2UE. He's also recently released a book with his business partner, Toby, Web Marketing That Works, which has been published through Wiley. So Adam, let's jump in. Every day I speak with studio owners about having a website and that it's really crucial for their business that they've got one. In saying that, there are many websites out there that work against studio owners. Can you talk us through your tips of what is non-negotiable? What are the non-negotiable elements a website, you know, should have and shouldn't have?
Yeah, great question, Clint. I mean, firstly, having a website, you know, so many people don't actually have a website, and it astounds me still, you know. That shocked me 10 years ago when people didn't have websites. But in 2014, you know, having a website is definitely important. So if you don't, they don't cost much to set up. You can get WordPress installed for free or for very, very reasonable rates. So definitely get started. But your question was, what are some of the non-negotiable elements of a website? And there's a couple of things that I recommend every website should have. Firstly, it is a landing page. And by a landing page, I mean a page where somebody can come to your website and download a piece of content for free. And that piece of content should be so valuable that people would be prepared to pay for it if you ask them, but you're actually giving that away for free in exchange for somebody basically saying, hey, this is my name and this is my email address. And the reason that's so important is because that way you have provided a way to stay connected with that person visiting your site. Because you've got to remember that there's millions and millions and millions of websites out there on the internet, and people, if you're lucky enough to have them arrive at your site, you kind of don't want them leaving empty-handed. Because for starters, you want to give them a great experience and deliver value. But secondly, they're very unlikely to remember to come back to your website. So by having a piece of content, and in my book, Web Marketing That Works, I refer to it as being a flagship piece of content. So that is something that you are known for, that you actually give away so that people can really try before they buy. If they download that content and like it, chances are they may do business with you in future. And again, by putting that on the website and offering it in exchange for somebody's name and email address, you've then got that facility to communicate with them on an ongoing basis. So to recap, the flagship piece of content, one, and having that housed on a landing page, number two. To me, they're the most important parts. And if I was to give one third part of that non-negotiable elements, it would be a blog, because a blog is your way of attracting people to your site. They can read your content, watch your videos, in a completely risk-free way. They don't have to say who they are. They can be anonymous. And if they like your blog content enough, then they may also take you up on your offer to download that flagship content.
Yeah, fantastic. And so just to give our dance studio owners an idea of what they might do, as an example, you might offer something that says, you know, the 8 things you must know before enrolling in a dance class. And so that might then be a PDF that kind of has the 8 things that they need to know before they go and try a class.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And you've got to remember as well that, you know, when people, if you and your listeners are familiar with the sales funnel, how that applies on the web is that at the top of the funnel, most people, when they've got a problem or a challenge, they turn to the internet to look for information. And that's actually 75% of people on the web are looking for information. And once they have, you know, hopefully come to your site, read your free blog content, downloaded your premium content, then you've helped educate people. And our job as marketers, particularly web marketers, is to help educate people so that they can make an informed decision as to whether or not, you know, to buy your services. And what most people forget on their website is they forget to put educational content on there. They expect people to make this massive leap from not knowing who you are all the way through to hitting either the contact us button or the buy now button. And it's just too big a chasm to cross without baby steps in between. And the way you take those baby steps is by providing free, valuable content to people that visit your site.
Yeah, and that's really around, you know, building the trust and credibility. So there's got to be a time frame around that. So as an example, and what we've done with many clients in Studio Success Formula is that someone will sign up for some tips or maybe some class passes or something, and then they go into that funnel and then they're nurtured through that process through getting more value from the studio, and then they come and try a class with the studio.
Totally.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. Great. Thanks for that advice. Perfect. So look, I've grabbed the book. I've got the book in front of me, actually. I love the book. And in your book, you talk about identifying your buyer personas. Can you tell us a little bit more about this process and how a dance studio owner could apply this to their business?
Absolutely. So the fundamental thing with marketing is really our job as marketers and business owners is to help people solve their problem. And the main part of that is understanding which people you can help. Because if you say that you can help everybody, well, then that's nowhere near specific enough and chances are you're not helping anybody. So the very first step of a marketing strategy is to actually clearly understand and define who your ideal buyer is. And the word we use for that is a buyer persona. You could say a target market or ideal customers, but it's actually more specific than that because we're actually describing a specific person or a persona. And the way to think about this persona is in terms of what challenges or problems does this person have? What are their aspirations? And so, for example, for my business, Blue Wire Media, our buyer persona is a lady that we've called Nicola, and it's very important, and I'll get to it at the end, to have an actual name for this person. And Nicola is a marketing manager at a mid-sized corporate company. She has an interested CEO and a supportive IT team. And her aspiration is to webify her marketing efforts. And the challenges that she faces is all these different new social media platforms. She's unsure how this blogging and content marketing and inbound marketing stuff all works. And so she's really looking to understand that and provide a framework and learn how to actually use these platforms successfully. And so in my example there, and I'm sure you'll be able to create one as an example for dance studio owners, but every time I sit down to create content, I can actually picture Nicola in my head and I'm thinking, well, I know Nicola from that description so clearly that I can create stuff that actually helps solve her problems. And then you've got that clarity of focus that each time you're creating content and doing your marketing, you've got her clearly in your head. So that helps them solve their problem, which in turn makes them much more likely to buy from you in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. And that's perfect. So, you know, as dance studio owners, you know, what we do in Studio Success Formula is we have to look at two things because we've got a student and then we've also got a parent. And so sometimes the student's making the decisions if they see a piece of maybe marketing at their school. You know, the studio's gone to the school to talk about what they do as a studio and the classes they offer. But we also need to hit the parent as well. And so we go through a very similar process, which is around, you know, who are they? What do they want? What are their fears and what are their dreams? And we do that for both of them. And the giving the name is so important, isn't it? Because when you're sitting there visualizing, you know, for a studio owner, okay, what new classes are we going to offer maybe this term or this month, or what marketing campaign are we going to put in place for this month? It's nice to be able to have that name, Nicola or Josephine or Gary, whoever it is, and straight away in your mind you can picture that exact ideal student or ideal parent, and then create that specifically for them.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. You've mentioned content marketing a little bit, and it's a term that gets thrown around a lot in the online marketing world. You know, I hear it every day. Can you break down that even further? We have gone into it, but can you break it down even further for our audience? And what's the process of creating your first piece of content marketing? How do you do it?
Sure. Well, let me just say that content marketing is really simply the process of publishing information, publishing content onto the web so that your buyer personas, your ideal customers, they can find it, they can self-serve and read the content or watch the videos and educate themselves, and hopefully the right customers that are the right match for your business will be able to slowly take, you know, steps closer and closer to your business to the point where they're ready to say, hey, I'm ready to pay you money and become one of your customers. So the job of a content marketer is to publish content that educates buyers and brings them closer and closer to that, to them making that informed buying decision to hopefully buy from you. Now, where do you start? That's a great question. The first place that I recommend starting is with that flagship piece of content. And the reason I say that is because it's all too easy to go and spread yourself too thin. For example, you might write, you know, 20 blog posts, but they won't necessarily get any traction in the early stages compared to a flagship piece of content, because a flagship piece of content, as I said earlier, should be so valuable that people would pay for it if you ask them. And the reason you want to be starting with something so valuable is that it's a great way to actually, you know, lead with generosity. If you're leading your marketing with something and you're giving it away that's actually so valuable that they'd pay, then you're starting that relationship off on a really good foot. And some of the ways to uncover that flagship piece of content, it could be stuff that you're already using with, you know, those potential parents or kids that are coming to the dance studios. It might be information that you share with them, but in a one-on-one capacity. Imagine if you documented that and released that on your website so that all the parents or all the kids could access that and get the value from it, then all of a sudden you've got this information serving a much larger audience. So my starting point would be really think about what flagship piece of content you can create or uncover and release to the public for free.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there's so many different types of content as well that you can do. I think there's about, you know, 9 kind of main ones that you can do. But, you know, there's videos, there's tools, there's guides, there's, you know, there's chapters of books. There's a whole lot of different stuff. And, you know, we've done recently with some of our clients, they've done videos where they've had their teachers, you know, deliver like a mini 5-minute class. So it might be like, you know, going through a warm up, you know, how do you warm up, you know, in the morning or before class. And so then they're given a couple of videos over a 7-day period to kind of get them to know the studio a little bit more and what they're about.
That's a perfect example there, because, you know, from the safety of their own home, they haven't spent any money, but they're actually, the parents and the kids are getting the value of that free training, and they get to know the instructor and they get to know the dance studio, so that by the time they're ready to actually enroll in the course, then, you know, they've actually already received significant value. And if you're the company that's delivering that for free via the web, then you've got such a much higher chance of being the business that gets the business at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Great advice. So look, search engine marketing is another term, you know, SEM, that we hear a little bit. Can you talk us a little bit around SEM? And I know you've got some interesting thoughts around this. So what do you reckon? What do you reckon about search engine marketing?
Cool. So search engine marketing is typically, you know, Google AdWords. So when you do a Google search, in the on the right-hand side, you've got the sponsored links, or they're now clearly identified as ads. And then you've got in the main section the organic results. And typically 80%, give or take, of people will actually click on the organic results, and 20% of people will click on the sponsored links or the adverts or the Google ads down the right-hand side. And the way that works is you basically write an ad. You say to Google, I'm willing to pay you X amount of dollars every time somebody clicks on this link. And so that can get you instant traffic, which is great. But the other thing to keep in mind is that every time somebody clicks on that link, you have to pay money. And if you want that advert to appear again, you've got to pull out your credit card and pay Google more money. So in essence, you're paying money on a regular basis to hopefully get traffic, and to hopefully you can do something good with that traffic once it gets to your site. But to keep it going, you've got to keep paying money. And my business partner, Toby, actually had a meeting with a couple of guys last year, and they said to him, Tobes, you know, we feel like we're addicted to advertising because each month we're spending $6,000 on Google AdWords, and it's costing us more and more to get the same results. And if we stop paying money, our leads dry up. So if you go down that search engine marketing path, yes, there are some perks in that you do get instant traffic if you're prepared to pay for it, but it can be a very slippery slope. What I advocate instead of that is to actually invest in a web marketing asset that actually, by that I mean something that if you publish it today, it's here tomorrow, it's here next week, and it's there next year. So things like blog content, podcasts like we're doing now, video content, ebooks, because once you publish that to the web, it stays there and it'll be there next year. And that's in stark contrast to a Google advert, which is there until somebody clicks on it, you pay your money, and you've got to do that over and over again. So it does have short-term benefits paying for the ads, but my advice to people would be to really ideally take that money and those resources and invest that in sustainable content that is going to continue to pay dividends months and years down the track.
Exactly. So, and again, you're basically saying don't put all your eggs into the one basket, because like what happened to the client that Toby was speaking with is that they were relying heavily on, you know, the pay-per-clicks from AdWords from Google. And so, you know, if they stop spending that money, no more leads coming to the business. So you're saying to really kind of bring to the forefront, you know, building that web asset and having some great content, value, you know, value-packed content out there in the big world wide web.
Absolutely. And if you do that, then you can choose to do search engine marketing if you want to, but you're not dependent on it, you're not hooked on it, and you don't need it to get your traffic. You have built that asset that will attract customers, revenue, and traffic.
Yeah, that's. I think that's fantastic. And I think, you know, also on this content that you're providing, valuable content, you want to make sure that you've got strong calls to action in these assets as well, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Each piece of content you put out onto the web should have a very clear purpose, at least in your mind as the business owner and the marketer, to basically take somebody one step closer to doing business with you.
Yeah.
And so if you start with that flagship content or a blog post, each time that you email them or that you release a new podcast or blog, you're helping to educate that person, strengthen the relationship with that person, and build the trust with that person. And they're the types of things that are required in order to win the sale.
Yep. So let's say we are doing some SEM, you know, we might have Google AdWords going, or we might have a Facebook advert campaign happening. And also around the content, you know, if we're creating a blog or a video with a strong call to action, and we need them to, we want to take them back somewhere so that we can capture their details. So let's go back to the example of maybe we're giving away, you know, 4 free video lessons around how to warm up before class. as an example. I mean, what lots of our clients, they come to us and they say, look, we're spending money or we're creating content, but, you know, we're taking them to our homepage and we're not getting anyone's details. And you mentioned the importance of having a landing page before. Can you just kind of go over that again and how that relates to having that call to action on a piece of content and how to get them kind of back and into the funnel?
Yeah, that's a great point, Clint. That's really good, because whether it's a Facebook ad or a Google ad or a piece of blog content, wherever there's a call to action, you need to be taking people, you know, holding their hand and taking them right to the place. As you mentioned, that sometimes people might be paying for traffic and taking people to a homepage. Well, if you think about a homepage, there's so many different options and distractions going on a homepage. The person probably, you know, wanted to learn something very specific about a video about how to warm up. So if you're taking to the homepage, they're going to get lost and most likely abandon the website. Whereas if you actually take that person to the actual page on your website that is about how to warm up, then they feel comfortable, they're where they expect to be, and you're not making them do the hard work of actually having to find whereabouts on the website they should be going.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you took somebody to the front door, if somebody was looking for a T-shirt and you just took them to the front door of Meijer and said, or even Westfield, and said, off you go find your T-shirt.
Yeah.
Compared to actually walking them into the store, walking them right to the shop and to that place on the hangar where that T-shirt actually is. That's the difference between sending somebody to a homepage versus sending somebody to an actual landing page.
Yeah, excellent. You know, I know you guys do a lot of work in social media and you know a lot about search engine optimization. Can you give us your kind of thoughts around search engine optimization and how it could work for a dance studio owner, you know, in regards to their website and getting them what we all want, first place in Google? And I know it's a little bit more complicated than a couple of minutes of a conversation, but can you give us some insight into that?
Absolutely. Search engine optimization is really the process of hopefully appearing when somebody searches for a certain keyword phrase. And it doesn't have to be confusing. It is confusing because a lot of SEOs and a lot of webby type people make it sound confusing, but it's not. It really comes down to two things. Firstly is the content that you have on your website. And secondly, it's the authority that you have on that particular topic. So let me dive into a bit more detail. Say in that example of a video of how to warm up for a session, people, parents or kids might be turning to Google and typing that in, how to warm up for a dance lesson.
Yep.
And so obviously Google is searching when somebody types that into the Google box, Google is then essentially going out to the entire internet and seeing which web pages have anything to do with how to warm up for a dance lesson. And it's then pulling them all back, and often at the top of a search result, you'll see, you know, there was 100,000 or 2 million matches. And so Google's essentially gone out to the internet, found all these matches and said, here they all are. And so your website must contain that keyword phrase, which is how to warm up for a dance lesson, if you want to be appearing when people search for how to warm up for a dance lesson. So that's the first bit. The content has to match. So hopefully that is quite simple to understand. But then the second part is, well, Google's got, say, 100,000 matches for the phrase how to warm up for a dance lesson. It's then got to rank all these matches from 1 to 100,000. And the idea or the hope that we have with search engine optimization is that it's our dance studio that's ranked number one, not the other 999,999 dance studios.
Exactly.
So how do you get to be the number one spot? Well, you need to give Google the signals that you are the most authoritative person or have the website with the most authority on that specific topic. And Google is a robot, essentially. It's not a human being. So it needs to scour the web as well to see, you know, are you the most knowledgeable person on how to warm up for a dance lesson, or is somebody else? And the way it does that is essentially it looks at backlinks. And so if you are the website that has the most backlinks coming to your site, each backlink is essentially a vote of confidence that you know what you're talking about. And so a website with the most good quality backlinks coming to it typically is acknowledged as the most, as the website with the highest authority, and that will be the website that gets ranked first on the Google results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Very, very clear.
Yeah, so that is essentially what search engine optimization is all about, and things that that studio owners can be doing to help their business get found is publish content on topics that your buyers are actually looking for. And the more content you publish about things that match up to what they're searching for, the more opportunities you have to be ranked on Google. And then secondly, to build up your authority is to actually attract backlinks to your site. So the easiest way to do that, to kick it off, is to actually go and approach people who you know. They might be customers or suppliers or people involved in your community, to actually link back to your website.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. That's great. Look, studio owners are, you know, playing on Facebook and Instagram and even Pinterest, you know, because there's parents hanging out on Pinterest. Can you give us some top tips on how to build engagement through these platforms?
Yeah, totally. I mean, what I certainly find with Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest, obviously they're all very visual social media platforms, and everybody's got a phone, got a camera on their phone these days. And so what you can do to get maximum impact, I think, is to actually leverage all the people involved in your community. I mean, as a studio owner, you could literally be taking all the photographs yourself, and that would be quite successful, and I do encourage your listeners to do that. But what can really amplify that is to ask the parents or the kids to be taking photographs on their phone of, you know, whatever class they're doing.
Yep.
Whether it's jazz or tap or ballet, but taking a couple of photos and then sharing that with their friends on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram, because that way they're sharing their experience through the social networks, and, you know, more and more people are actually seeing what's happening at the dance studio. So I think encouraging people to take photos and to share them, there's things you can do like having hashtags. Each dance studio owner might have a particular hashtag for their studio. And if you sort of teach your students to, you know, put a hashtag dance studio on it, then what you're doing is you're getting your content seen by a huge number of people, way bigger than what you might actually just have if you did all the photographs yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And those kids, you know, we've got clients who's, you know, we encourage, you know, students, obviously make sure everyone signed the disclaimer when they sign their enrollment form. But yep. We always have our teachers and our students, you know, really contributing to that social media platform. And it's great for so many reasons. Obviously, you know, attracting new students because, you know, friends are friends are friends, and everyone, you know, a lot of people are seeing the content. It's also great for retention. So we basically take what's happening inside of the classroom and we take it outside of the classroom online. And so it's really good to be engaging your current student base online as well. So there's some really great benefits of doing it.
Yeah, that's true. And a great story I heard once was one of the best ways to sort of get that happening is to, you know, when you're doing your class, is to tell all the kids that they have to put their phones away and no one can use their phone during the class. Because then, of course, by the end of class, the first thing they want to do is they run over to their bag, they get their phone out, and they just start taking photos and using it. So depriving them of their phone for a little bit makes them that much keener to actually get back on and start taking photos and sharing them as soon as they're allowed.
I agree. That's great. Look, thanks so much, Adam, for your time today. It's been really great to speak with you, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know more about you and also the book, Web Marketing That Works. So how can they find you?
Okay, there's a number of ways they can find me. They can find me on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is @Franklin_Adam. If that doesn't make any sense to you because you're not on Twitter, then I encourage you to help yourself to this 33 free marketing templates that I've created with my business partner, Toby, over the last few years, and they all come free with the book. But the good news is you don't actually have to buy the book. You can actually download the 33 free templates for free, and then if you like those, then you're going to love the book.
Yeah, so if fantastic. You do want to, wow.
Yeah,
great
yeah,
content.
So
if
you do want to get your hands on those templates, head to bluewiremedia.com.au/book, and then you'll be able to download all 33 of those at once. And then, as I said, get involved. There's all sorts of different templates that you'll find very practical. And if you like them, then I certainly encourage you to check out the book because it explains how to use them all. And it also explains, I guess, mine and Toby's journey from being a startup business ourselves and all the trials and tribulations along the way and our realizations and discoveries. It's a warts and all account. And, of course, all the practical how-to tips of how to build a web marketing asset for yourself.
Yeah, it's a great resource. And for our Studio Success Formula members, you know, it complements what we teach in the program really well. So encourage everyone to go on out there and get it. Well, thanks again, Adam. Such a great pleasure to be chatting with you. And thanks for sharing all of that valuable knowledge with our audience.
It's an absolute pleasure, Clint. Lovely to chat with you. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for listening to the Studio Success Formula podcast. To take your studio to the next level and beyond, head to studiosuccessformula.com.